Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a digital organization and productivity consultant. She's also a GTD fanatic and a digital entrepreneur. She is the founder of Simplified. Started in 2009, my guest has spent the past 7 years helping overwhelmed professionals, just like yourself, use technology to become more efficient and productive in their days. Now, let's hack Lily Weiss. I want to thank today's sponsor, Citrix GoToWebinar. When you are trying to create demand for your business, you need a cost-effective way to reach your target audience and generate qualified leads for your sales team. To do just that, you should use Citrix GoToWebinar. With GoToWebinar, you can present to hundreds with confidence. Whether you are a startup or a company operating worldwide, GoToWebinar can help you connect, captivate, and convert your target audience. It's easy to do. You pick a compelling topic, select your audience, and schedule your event. With automated emails, custom branding, and practice sessions, GoToWebinar makes getting ready easy. When your event is live, keep attendees engaged with interactive polls, live chat, and respond to feedback in real time. Then, once your event is over, you're only a click away from reporting on registration attendance and performance metrics of your event. GoToWebinar enables marketers like you to easily reach your target audience and turn leads into customers. Get started with GoToWebinar today to connect and convert. Visit GoToWebinar.com to start your free 30-day trial. That's GoToWebinar.com.
We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very, very special guest. Lily, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely my pleasure. This is going to be a blast, I can just tell.
I think so too.
All right, let's jump into the first question. Lily, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Ooh, I'd have to say I married well. So having an incredible husband that is stable, having a relationship that I can come back to has been so necessary with the insane ups and downs of the life of an entrepreneur. Having to be able to come home at the end of the day is, and to have a family that I love waiting there for me that doesn't judge me in any way, where I can forget my worries and celebrate my wins, has been such a blessing. I don't know if that's anything that other entrepreneurs can control, but it is for me. It's, I realize when looking at the big picture that having that stable relationship has just been such a factor, as well as health insurance here in America. Ooh, that yeah. has been a huge bonus.
So your husband is not an entrepreneur?
Oh no, God, he would be horrible. No. He's a teacher and a school administrator. And a very good one, thankfully.
Almost the exact opposite of an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Although it's interesting, since I've been getting more into the online world and doing online workshops and whatnot, he's like, well, it looks like you're becoming a teacher. I was like, what? How did that happen?
Exactly. Does he get it? Does he understand sort of why, or like that you have this drive to sort of do something on your own that sort of doesn't really have like a roadmap or a plan in front of it?
Mm-hmm. I think he respects it and admires it. And at the same time, I think it scares him silly, because he's just the kind of guy that he needs that steady paycheck and he needs to know, you know, where he's going to be tomorrow and what his next week is going to look like. So I think he's able to say, okay, this is great for Lily and I'm happy for her, but it's definitely nothing that he would be able to do himself.
Okay. So I want to, cause it sounds like his reaction might be similar to even your reaction.
Yeah.
Like, what do you ever stop and think, like, why? I know I do this, but do you ever stop and think, like, why do you do this to yourself? Because I'm sure that you respect it within yourself, but it probably also scares the heck out of you at times.
Oh, every day. every single day. And I can't imagine it otherwise. I don't know how to exist in that dichotomy. I'm still figuring it out. But yeah, you know, it's kind of, when I look at the alternatives, you know, the alternatives never worked for me. I was never very employable, as they say. I was never great in an office setting. And I was just not successful. And one day I just said, okay, I'm going to see what happens when I try and do something and ask people to pay me money. And they did. I was like, oh, that's crazy. Look how that happens. Like, there's no applying for a job. No one has to look at my resume. I just said, hey, can I come organize your house and you'll give me some money? And they said, okay. And I still feel that way. I still feel like I'm just kind of going by the seat of my pants and figuring things out every single day. And I've been at it for 6 years now and I don't really know how to do anything else.
So flying by the seat of your pants and not knowing, I mean, that's kind of the lure of it, right? That's kind of the part that's really interesting. Like, do you hope for a day where it's just boring and routine, where you've just kind of like, I know what I'm doing. This is it.
I hope for it. And then when it comes, I'm like, oh, I need something new. You know, like I've had times like that, but definitely on, you know, like I've had a really crazy week. And I was sick and I, you know, didn't have the luxury of really taking much of a sick day or a sick week, which is what I needed. And I just had to keep plugging through and plugging through. And, you know, those are the days where I'm just like, oh, I would love, you know, a quote unquote real job where I can come home and just turn on the TV and forget about work. But I feel like there's something that keeps me going every day and wanting to try new things and just craving that, I wonder what this, craving that mystery of, here, let me try it. Let me see what will happen. And sometimes it really sucks. And sometimes it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It's a great description of how it is. And it's sometimes it does really suck and sometimes it's really, but that's, to me, that's how life should be.
Yeah.
I don't want it to just be like a plain sailing. I want the ups and downs because the downs do make the ups that much better.
That's true.
At least from my perspective.
That's true. I agree with that. You said it a lot clearer than I did, John. So.
All right, Lily. So your one thing is basically your husband that you married well, and that's awesome. It totally is. But now every blog post, every expert talks about 80-20. So do 20% of the work in your business, get 80% of the results. You're supposed to do what you're good at, and you're supposed to delegate the rest. Lily, can you tell me something that you are absolutely not good at in your business?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, marketing. That is not my forte. That is so not my forte. And copywriting and selling. I love to schmooze. I am an extrovert. I love just helping people and talking to people about their problems and solving their problems. But putting myself out there and, you know, doing all the sales funnels and social media and website and, you know, oh God, email opt-ins and all of that kind of stuff. I'm just, I have no finding my target audience. I'm like, I want to help everybody, you know, like I just, it's a horrible entrepreneurship attitude to have. It's just, it's not good. And also planning, Like, I like to think about what I'm working on this week and not what I'm, what the next 5 years are going to look like, which when I had a business coach, she did not like that very much. She's like, you need to think of a 5-year plan. So I would, if I had a ton of money, I definitely would have a marketing team or, you know, someone to help me with the marketing.
Okay. So you really don't like the sales, the marketing, the copywriting, the funnels, the email opt-ins, but you probably understand the necessity of them.
Oh, yes.
And you, I mean, going to your site, Simplified Life, it's definitely like you have them. So do you just force yourself to do them even and just grudgingly like, oh, God, I hate this. I'm going to do it. Or do you like, how do you do it? How do you do it anyways, knowing that you are, that this is your weak point?
Sometimes I hire people. So like I hired someone to build my website. And I've hired copywriters before. And sometimes I begrudgingly do it, but it's I know what I want my marketing to be like. And I see it in other successful entrepreneurs. And depending on the person, I'm either really, really jealous of them or I really respect them and say, oh, they do it a lot better than I can. So I have full confidence in the work that I do when I'm actually working with my clients and helping them to be more productive and more digitally organized. I see the successes that my clients have had from working with me, but how to convey that to the world is so, I'm kind of never pleased with what I really put out there. I want it to be clearer and more sexy and more, I don't know. I have the thing that I think a lot of entrepreneurs have of comparing myself to other people. I mean, sometimes it feels to me, John, the world, especially in the world of online business, it's a bit like high school where when, you know, everyone puts their, they put their best face online, you know, their best photos, their best ideas, their, you know, everything kind of seems great when they're online. And that's kind of like high school where I big surprise, I was not super popular. And it seemed like everyone had their shit together where it's like, no, everyone's a teenager in high school. No one has it together in high school, but everyone kind of, you know, felt cooler or, you know, more interesting than I did. So I feel that a lot in online business and I'm trying, you know, this year, I'm really trying to find ways of getting out of that. And I don't know if that means less time on social media. Or just I'm trying to find, build up the other areas of my life that don't have anything to do with my business, just so that I kind of get out of that zone, at least, you know, for a few hours every day.
Yeah. And I promised before we started recording that I wouldn't put you on the spot.
Uh-oh.
Can you tell from this preface what I'm about to do?
Yeah.
But in there, you said, I know what I want. Like my marketing to look like. It sounded like you had somebody in mind that you just like love the way they can do their marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have somebody? Can you tell us? Because we want to know.
Oh, sure. I have a couple people. The first one is a woman that I really love. Her name is Faye Wolf. She just came out with a book and I'm going to look it up so that I don't get the title wrong. I just bought it. She's a professional organizer based out of Los Angeles. And her book is called New Order, A Decluttering Handbook for Creative Folks. Go buy it. It is super fun. And it is absolutely the book that I wish I had written, but I couldn't have done as good a job as she did by any means. And just her blog posts, her videos, everything, she just really approaches organizing and decluttering in with the same mindset that I do. Like I was not a big fan of the Marie Kondo sensation book, but Faye's book I really love. And so I love her marketing, her style, everything about that. And another woman that I really respect, you interviewed her a couple months ago, Val Geisler.
Yes. Val is awesome.
She's awesome. We've connected a little bit, but I think I'm on her email list and just everything from how the subjects of her emails I love to the types of programs that she offers to just, you know, the amount of good material that she talks about on her blog. So those are the two that really come to mind that I feel do a really good job with marketing that are also kind of in my field.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Well, I did.
No, it's fine. I directly did it.
So I must have. But Val's now working with ConvertKit as well.
Yes, I know. I know she is.
I don't know exactly what capacity, but the emails from ConvertKit now come from Val because she is really good at them. And so do blog posts. Yeah.
Yes. And she's still running her site and running her business in some capacity. So she's obviously Wonder Woman in that she's doing it in the same way. And we both have one kid who's about the same age. And so I'm just kind of like, I don't know how she does it all, but she somehow makes it work.
Yeah. And so when you talk about your marketing and sort of, and your site and your copywriting and how you're sort of portrayed online, do you think it's essential in your market to be building an audience?
It's hard for me to know, John. I mean, it's really interesting because I started this business, like when I started, if you had called me an entrepreneur, I would have laughed in your face. I don't really think I call myself an entrepreneur until you asked me to be on this podcast, but I didn't really realize that, like, oh, that's what I'm doing. I have my own business. Oh, okay. That's what an entrepreneur is. I mean, I've just been trying to do my own thing and get paid for it. And so I started, you know, not in the online world at all. I just started as a professional organizer and I really loved the work. And I saw the more clients that I saw, the more issue I saw with real productivity, that people, you know, maybe we declutter, but then a few weeks later, they'd be back in the same spot. And around about 5 years ago, I read and devoured and totally just jumped into getting things done. And it turned my life around. It really did. And I saw the power of how being productive and how creating a trusted system can improve your health, can improve your mental health. And I just said, okay, this has a lot to do with organizing. And somehow in my brain, it all kind of worked together where I became instead of a professional organizer, a digital organizer, just because I've always had a talent with technology and explaining technology in simple terms. And that went hand in hand with helping people to improve their productivity and to be more efficient just using digital tools. So I'm trying to remember the original question right now.
If you think it's essential to build an audience.
So I had a website, but I wasn't into this trying to build an online audience. I had a local audience. I've done, you know, dozens of in-person workshops and, you know, was really within my community. I definitely had an audience and it just was so clear that I needed to bring this online. And then about a year ago, I found Pat Flynn and I found Fizzle and I found all these things that were like the big neon sign saying, it's super easy to make an online business and you'll make $1 million in 2 days. And it's like, oh, okay, that sounds good. Let me do that. So for the past year, I have absorbed all of that knowledge that is just all over the internet on listening to your podcast, doing it all about learning from others. And everyone says that, yeah, it is essential to know your audience in that way. And so I feel like I want the answer to be yes, but I don't know if I'm doing a very good job of it.
Right. And that's kind of what you said at the beginning, but I was just wondering if you actually like believed in the importance of it within your market space.
Yeah, I think it would be helpful. I think it would be helpful if I was able to better define my audience and, you know, to market to them. Like I in my in-person work, I've done a lot of work with women who are returning to work after taking a big break of like 5, 10, 15 years of raising their families. So either they're starting their own business or they're going back into the corporate world and they have computers, they have iPhones, they just don't know how to make it all work. You know, they don't know how to go paperless. And I really kind of come in and just simplify the whole situation for them and get their systems up and running. And it's great. They're incredibly grateful. And I would love that to be a target market. But I, you know, I've tried to sit here and think about, like, how do I find those people? Like, it's been all, because it's all been in my local community, it's been all word of mouth. But, like, online, I've, like, tried to find Facebook groups that they belong to. And it's just, it's a kind of an amorphous target market. So it's just, I don't know why I went into all of that, just to say that it's not simple. It's not always simple. Unless your target market is, like, moms, you know, first-time moms or bloggers. A lot of people's target markets are bloggers, but those are tend to be kind of easier to find.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Yeah. And yeah. I don't think that it's easy either, but yeah. I do think it's essential, not just like, because I mean, the way you talk about high school, and you're right, it's exactly like high school in like the saddest of ways.
Yes.
But but it's not so that you can build like quote unquote like celebrity or like be the popular kid in school. It's literally to build authority. I think as you build that audience, then you build authority as the go-to source. Like you say, Pat Flynn. Everybody knows Pat Flynn in this market space as a go-to source because he's built authority around that. It's not just the fact that he's like the cool popular kid. So, because I think he would be the first one to tell you that he's not the cool popular kid. He's the Star Wars nerd. All right. So Lily, let's move to projects if we can.
Sure.
Because I know you do several different things in your business. We talked before the call about how you did your first webinar yesterday, which is very, very cool. But projects can be a loose term. So whether it's a new offering you want to offer to your customers or just a new direction you want to head in your business, I would love to know, and especially because of your organization, I would love to know, first of all, if it's a written process or if it's just sort of an internal feeling, but what process you go through to decide when a new project is worth your time, energy, and resources?
I like that question. It is definitely something that I talk it out with. I'm in, I would say, 1.5 mastermind groups. So I'm in one group that meets once a week with two other people. And then I'm in, it's just me and another entrepreneur. We talk once every 2 weeks. And those are kind of my peoples, my support network. And so I've had a lot of ideas of different projects to do. And with them, I will test them out. So I wanted to do a webinar on, you know, how to master your email a few months ago. And I wrote it all out and actually did it with my entrepreneur friend. And it was just awful. Like I just didn't like it for a variety of reasons. We decided to not go forward with it. Then we had the idea of doing this workshop that I've done a ton of times in person and bringing that into the online world. And I said, you know, with my entrepreneur friends, I was able to really say, okay, this week I'm going to work on, you know, an outline and what would work for it. And then the next week we talked about it and I said, okay, I think I can do this. Let's put a deadline on it. And with them, they held me accountable with the deadlines. So it's really having other people in the mix. And then in the final thing, I actually hired a copywriter. So I launched this workshop in the beginning of February, a few weeks ago. And even though I had written a lot of the copy, I just didn't have full confidence in it. So I decided it was worth my money to bring in a copywriter and to get her opinion. And, you know, she did great. And I think it was still, in the end, it was most of my copy that went out there and not hers, although she gave me a great title. But it was just the fact that I was paying her forced me to actually do it and put it out to the world and send it out to my email list. And I wanted to sell 5 spots since it was my first online workshop. It was a 3-week workshop. And I sold, after selling 5, I got more demand. And so I opened up another session because I didn't want to have more than 5 people on any one call. So, because group calls are part of the workshop. So we did, in the end, I have 3 sessions running and 13 seats sold. And we started it this past week and it's been going great. So it's definitely nerve-wracking. It's a lot of work. I give them, it's essentially my interpretation of getting things done, which is really, you know, breaking it down to its simplest parts. And they get a video from me on Monday. And then on Friday, we meet for a group call. where they share their screens and I'm able to get in there with them and help them set up their systems and declutter their email and figure things out and just get into the nitty-gritty. It's not just a lecture workshop. It really is hands-on. So it's something I've done in person and I've really loved doing it in person. And I kind of have struggled figuring out the best format to do it online. And so far, this seems to be going well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you come up with an idea, you get it, you sort of put it through the ringer via your friend or mastermind group or persons to see if it has any legs and to, I guess, to tear it apart if it's not any good and then to rebuild it so it is good. And then you kind of almost tricked yourself to get it out the door by hiring a copywriter whose copy you didn't really use, but you paid her, so you had to kind of... Which is hilarious because I've done that exact same thing before.
Have you really?
And it's as soon as you said it, I was like, wow, I've never vocalized that to anybody because I just thought that was a wacky thing that I did, but it worked. And it got the ball sort of moving the way it needed to.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Nice. So you don't have sort of written processes for these. Like you're not that organized in that way. Like you're not like SOP sort of obsessed person with your business.
No. Once I have the information, then I'm organized. So, you know, like my computer is very organized in terms of files and research and all of that kind of stuff. But as far as, and I do, you know, I use mind mapping software when it's like a really big project, but I don't have any long-term plans or, you know, do things in the same way, which is, you know, which is why my blog isn't huge. I just actually bought a course to help me, you know, start planning my blog because I do want to focus more on that this year. And, but it's, I bought the course, but I haven't started it yet. So that tells you I'm procrastinating on it because, you know, blogging has been just kind of a, oh, I'll do it when I feel like it, when the inspiration hits, which is not exactly what people recommend. So yeah, I was like, let me spend some money and get a course by someone that I respect and see what she has to say and try. And, you know, I definitely have an Evernote notebook called, you know, Blog Ideas that is filled with fabulous ideas. And I can sit with you or whoever and talk about those for ideas for hours, but actually getting them written down is, like I said, at the beginning, marketing is just so not my forte. I heard someone, I don't know if it was on a podcast interview or something, talk about that he has a virtual assistant who he just talks to and then she, you know, he dictates to her his blog posts and she types them all up. And I was like, okay, that I can imagine, I can get behind that. There's something about just sitting at the computer and typing it that I'm so resistant to.
I did that so much with my book.
Did you really?
Yeah. And actually now it's even better. And so like, and I recommend this to people all the time because writing is really hard and I have different places I need to write for. And lots of times the inspiration's not there, but obviously as a podcaster, I can talk. And now actually Google Docs makes it even easier. And everything I do is in Google Docs anyways. That's where I work. But they now have, there's like a tools. When you drop down the tools menu, there's a voice typing that you literally just talk into the microphone. And it's amazing how well it works. And so that's obviously not going to be a blog post. But to me, staring at a blank page is really hard. But yeah. I typically have ideas going around. So I just start talking it out. And then I used to send it to my VA. She would type it all out and then send it back to me. And it's like, okay, now I can work with this. Now it's like kind of, I can see where the ideas are. I can edit stuff. I can take things out. I can add, like fill it out. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, there's a blog post.
Yeah.
But that idea of starting with a blank page is a nightmare sometimes. So always, if you can talk it through, but Google Docs now with Google's like voice to text technology is,
that's
one thing, it's free and it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been, there's one that's built into every Mac that's a dictation, but it's not that fabulous.
Exactly.
So I have not tried the Google Docs one and I will definitely give that a shot. And if not, I might need the number of your VA.
Yeah, but the Google Docs, like, I mean, you can even like, and period, a new paragraph, and it does it all for you. Like if you wanted to, like you could actually go through and edit it later, like by your voice. It's crazy.
I'm making a note right now.
It's impressive. So... All right, Lily. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up on one final question for you, though.
Sure.
You've been at this entrepreneurial game for 6 years now, even though you weren't aware of it until I asked you to be on the show, which I deem a total success then of my show. But as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, whatever you want to call us, right, we always project our success into the future, meaning that you're going to set goals 1 month, 3 months, 6 months out, wherever they happen to be. And I know your coach told you it should be 5 years and you don't, but still they're always in front of us. When you hit that metric, when you get to hit that revenue goal, when you get to release that book or whatever it is you want to do, that's when you'll see yourself as successful. Yet right before you hit that goal, you set bigger, loftier ones into the future. And we always, it's like the horizon walking towards it. As you walk, you never seem to get there. And no matter from the outside how successful we look to other people, or as other people see us, we never see ourselves as successful. So I would love right now, Lily, if you could stop and turn around and look at the last 6 years, where you've come from, the highs, the lows, the wins, and the losses, and tell me how you feel about your entrepreneurial sort of journey up until today.
Oh, man. Wow. You're looking for some tears.
I'm hoping.
You're hoping.
Not in a mean way.
No, in a good way. Yeah, I'm very impressed with what I've done so far. I can definitely be critical, but you know, phrasing in the way that you did is super helpful. You know, I've helped over 150 individual clients, and you know, some of those clients I worked with for years and some for months, and I've taught dozens of workshops, and I feel that I've helped myself. You know, I was not happy working in a standard work environment. It was, you know, causing me anxiety and depression, and felt like, okay, I need to do something on my own. And I didn't know how it would go. And so the fact that I've been able to make it last that long, and I've, you know, created a wealth of knowledge in what I've done. I've really, you know, done research and had seen enough clients to really see the patterns that people get into over and over and over, to know that, okay, I actually have an expertise in this. And also reading Faye's book the other night, you know, it was just like it was really well written and well done. But for me reading it, it was like, well, duh. I know that already. And then I was like, oh, well, if she needs to write a book about this, that means that most people don't know this already. You know, so it must mean that I, you know, have done hard work to get to the fact that I have all of the knowledge in this book. And, you know, I've had some really low times. I've had to take part-time work. I've been pregnant and had a child over the past few years that wasn't exactly easy. So given all those changes, the fact that I've sustained this and that I keep it going is pretty darn impressive, John, if I do say so.
You should. And I agree. And that's a beautiful answer. All right, thanks. Lily, we've got to talk about your business in passing. I would love it right now if you could specifically tell the listener where to go find out more about you and your business.
Sure. The name of my business is Simplified. My website is simplified.life. And that's where they can find me.
Excellent. You are also on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter with my full name, which is Lily Weiss, LILLIWEIS, like sugar, Z like zebra.
Excellent. So Simplified Life, I love that URL, I just have to say. For those of you listening that are driving or working or whatever you happen to be doing, in the show notes, I will link to Simplified Lily's site. I will link to her on Twitter for you, as well as I'll track down Faye Wolf's site. David Allen's Getting Things Done is what has been mentioned many times, so I will link to that. That's a book that probably everyone should read.
And I wanted to say one more thing, John, if I could.
Yes.
I'm just started a partnership with this awesome office organizer in the Washington, D.C. area named Casey Paide, P-A-I-D-E. And her business name is The Inspired Office. And we are going to, over the next 3 weeks, we are going to be hosting three different free webinars. Casey and I were calling them office hours, One is just a tour of our computers. So seeing how the experts organize their computers. The next one will be about going paperless and what you need to know to start the transition to go paperless. And then the last one is just going to be Evernote 101. So those who have dabbled in Evernote and hear all the great things about it, but don't really know how to get started and what to use it for, we're going to be doing that.
Wow. I need to partake in all of these.
Okay, good.
You would cry if you saw my virtual desktop and my actual desktop.
Oh, John.
It's absolute chaos.
I would love to help you out.
And all of this talk about getting things done, as you were talking about it, I looked over on my bookshelf in my office and it's on the shelf. And I've never read it because I think I'm scared of what it's going to do to me.
Oh.
But now, because you mentioned it in such a good light, I'm going to take it upstairs and put it on my nightstand, and it's going to be added to the list of books.
Well,
to read,
so. I have my videos that I've created that simplify the whole thing, and I'd be happy to send them to you.
Excellent.
If you would like that, so you don't have to read an entire book.
I would. I love reading books. I do like to read, so it's okay. But yeah, so thank you so much, Lily. I really, really do appreciate you stopping by. It's been a blast, and please reach out to Lily. And check out the show notes if you need any of those links and you can't remember them. But Lily, please keep doing what you're doing because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you for inviting me and letting me talk your ear off. I love doing it.
Lily, thank you so much for joining me today. That was a lot of fun. I hope you out there listening enjoyed that conversation as much as I enjoyed it. I love what Lily's doing and I love where she's going with it. It's really, really, really cool. And I'm glad that she decided to share. I'm just going to tell you slightly. I did have to push kind of hard and I asked Lily like months and months and months back to be on the show and she got back to me, but then she wasn't sure yet. And then she came on. So I'm glad that we finally got to talk. She said she was a bit nervous to be on the show. But I couldn't tell at all. She was so casual and we just had a great conversation. So thank you, Lily, and I hope you enjoyed it listening as well. So we've reached the point in the show where I have to go back and listen again to what Lily said. And so I went through and there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things I went back. And as I went through, I got it down to 5. Then there was 4, and then there was 3. Last time I listened to it, there was 2. And then there was this one thing that Lily said that really, really, really stood out to me. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
And one day I just said, okay, I'm going to see what happens when I try and do something and ask people to pay me money. And they did. I was like, oh, that's crazy. Look how that happens. Like there's no applying for a job. No one has to look at my resume. I just said, hey, can I come organize your house and you'll give me some money? And they said, okay. And I still feel that way. I still feel like I'm just kind of going by the seat of my pants and figuring things out every single day.
And that's the hack. Lily. I absolutely love this. I love the honesty of this. And I love the path that you took because this path is the path of most people that now call themselves entrepreneurs. And as you said, you never even thought of yourself as an entrepreneur until this show, which is great. And that's awesome. But this path of basically freelancing is what you did. So the skill that you have right now, if you have a job and you've learned a skill or you have a skill or an education or something that allows you to typically people stay within the same market or job space, right? Even if you switch companies, you still stay within whatever you were doing. You can then take this and rather than applying for the next job and giving a resume, you can just do it for if your company works for companies or if they work for consumers and individuals, then you can do that too. And this is the beauty of it. I love the progression of working for somebody, going to freelancing and doing it yourself, the exact same job, but doing it on a consulting basis as a freelancer and doing the actual work and then scaling out of it slowly, if that's what you want, and turning it into products or productized services and hiring other people to then do that work of freelancing for you, and you sort of step back and grow the business and become the entrepreneur. That's the most natural progression of any entrepreneur. And I love the way you do this. And then I also love how you say every day you're, it's like you're flying by the seat of your pants, and you still are 6 or 7 years into it, which is totally awesome and fine. And we need to get, I think, not only get used to it, but we need to enjoy it. I mean, it's life. You only got one shot, right? Like, why wake up like in 20 or 30 years from now and just think about what you maybe could have done? I don't know. That's the way I look at it. It's not always easy, no, but it's fun. It's exciting. You're literally just on the edge of your seat at all times trying to figure out what to do next. I mean, what could be more exciting than that? And so, Lily, I really, really, really appreciate honesty and sincerity in that response, because that truly is the path you've taken, is the path that I'm going to say high 90% of entrepreneurs have taken and then scaled or changed their sort of mindset after, and then gone on to what we now call entrepreneurship. But even freelancing, I mean, not even, but freelancing itself is entrepreneurship to me. You're creating something out of nothing. You are creating your own thing. You're getting paid for your own work and your own efforts. It's admirable by anyone's, I think, take on entrepreneurship. And so I really, really, truly appreciate you sharing, Lily. All right. That was a blast. As always, thank you so much for joining me today. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Make sure you stop by and get onto that email list. Yeah, it would be a great spot. Also, I just created kind of a cool, it's a PDF you can download if you want, but there's 21 tools. We broke it down to the 21 tools that literally run Hack the Entrepreneur from the ground up. Almost all of them, except I think 3 of them, are completely free to use. And they're things that we literally could not run the business without. And they really help in organization and productivity, some with email, some with just me staying in shape and being able to stay active and doing what I need to do. So go check it out. You'll see on this, if you go to hacktheentrepreneur.com, you'll see in the sidebar, it's a place to go over to my 21 resources, or just go to the resources page. I think you'll like it. It's pretty cool. All right. Thank you so much for joining me. I really, really, truly do appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.